Well, welcome and good morning to all of you. Those who are viewing online, welcome. Those at Vincent's, hey, big shout out to Rhett and Delaney Baker. You know, the church doesn't accomplish much unless it has great people who are serving Jesus Christ, continually giving their heart, soul, mind, and strength over to Him. Delaney, Rhett, thank you so much for being Jesus' hands and feet at Vincennes. If you're at Vincennes, give them a big pat on the back there. And of course, we have so many wonderful people that are making sure that this ministry happens. They're loving on Jesus, they're loving on the Lord, and because of that, you and I, we get to reap the benefits of their ministry, and we get to be blessed by what they're doing. And anytime you see someone serving, whether it's in kids ministry or here at the doors welcoming people in, just give them a big thank you. They're spending their time, talent, and treasure on making sure that Christ is exalted and that you are being welcomed in love the best way we know how in the name of Jesus Christ. We start this new series called Back to Reality, and really the foundations of it are pretty simple. It's this idea that we need to get back to what we were doing prior to the whole pandemic beginning. And some of us have just pushed pause on some things. We're in an interlude of sorts. We've stopped the rhythms, the spiritual rhythms, and we've got out of cadence a little bit. Some of you might be wondering, well, what in the world is spiritual rhythms? That's new language to me. Spiritual rhythms are simple. It's things like coming to worship regularly. Maybe it's getting in your Bible daily, praying daily, and have a dedicated time of prayer. Maybe it's just connecting with a small group and finding encouragement and fellowship as you grow in Christ and are strengthened to that small group. Some of you are looking at me a little funny because you don't have those spiritual rhythms. You never had those spiritual rhythms. And I just need to encourage you that if you want to be on a pathway that is modeling Jesus Christ, if you want to be a pathway of spiritual growth, I'm not going to be able to feed that to you today and give you those kind of steps and that pathway to get you there. But our connection central at both campuses, you're going to find some people that love you, that love the Lord, and want to see your spiritual life grow and flourish. And those folks, if you go to Connection Central just right after the service and meet with them, they will get you on a great pathway to start that relationship of knowing God, living free, finding purpose, and being a difference maker in the name of Jesus. So make sure you stop there. If you're going, I don't have spiritual rhythms. I've never had a cadence to my spiritual life. I've always had my own rhythm, and it hasn't been much one at all. Find those folks at Connection Central in the red shirts. They're going to help you develop one. But when I say, can I just speak from the heart for a second? In so many ways during this pandemic, I have lost my spiritual rhythms. I'm not going to ask you to give an amen because, you know, some of us are a little bit shy to admit that. Like, I have not felt myself in 7 months' time. I don't know about all you. I just haven't felt myself. And this pandemic has been given a lot of titles, a lot of names, not just economically, but also when it comes to our time. It's been called the pandemic pause. It's also been called the anthropause. It's also been called the great pause. What's funny about it is it all involves pause. Like, we've all stopped. We've all kind of just given up on our plans and our dreams and our future and our hope. We've all kind of given up on tomorrow and the plans that we can make for tomorrow. We've kind of all given up on the purpose or the vision and the mission of that Christ has called us to as an individual and as a group of people, the church. And what I'm kind of saying is we've stopped living. And we're just kind of existing, some of us, right now. And we don't have a direction. We don't have purpose. And this series is this great call to get back to reality. Back to reality, like living life like you did prior to the pandemic. Like making some plans. Having some things in life spiritually that you want to conquer and go after. Living to the call and the mission that God is putting and placed on your heart. And moving forward, the mission that this church has been called to. And instead being a great pause, friends, today is the call to have the great awakening in our lives and get back to it. Like the call today is to quit being controlled by circumstances. Because like a lot of us have been controlled by the circumstances of our environment right now. And the call is to define your times rather than letting our times define us. And there's a huge difference there. The scriptures give us this true-to-life Proverbs of why we just need to get back to it, to move forward, to press on, to get back to daily living on mission for Jesus. Ecclesiastes says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Any farmers in here want to amen that one? It's so true, right? If you wait for everything to be perfect, if you wait for the clouds to clear out and the forecast to be just right, you will never find yourself harvesting or reaping in life. You will never make much of anything in life. And there's so many of us right now that have paused, and we're just kind of waiting. We're waiting for the right timing. We're waiting maybe for the vaccine to come. We're waiting for, and we're kind of in this holding pattern of sorts that when things calm down and things get back to normal, then we'll get our lives back on track. And friends, may I be a prophet of doom, because I love it. Ain't going back to normal. There is not going to be a time in society when everything's going to be smoothed out and right. And if you're watching the news, you're going to know that daily. That there is never going to be, the world is always going to give you, no, you shouldn't. Can I give you one reason why you should? Because God has not given up on his purpose for your life. He has not pushed pause on the direction and the course that he has set for your life, even though you might have. God is not in an interlude. This pandemic didn't catch God off guard. He is not in heaven wringing his hands right now. He is not in heaven pacing the streets of gold going, what am I going to do next? You might be, but he's not. Because God is in control. Do you believe that this morning? God is in control. And sometimes we just need to verbalize it, because I just settle it down. So everybody just, will you just join me in some group therapy for a minute? Deep breath, ready? And we're going to say, God is in control. Ready? God is in control. He is in control. And even when we feel out of control, God is in control. And friends, anytime that God is in control, that means that there is nothing out of his control. See, faith in God keeps pressing us forward, but fear keeps us from pressing out. And believers, man, believers never stop. During pandemic, during times of persecution, they never stop living on mission. They don't see what we're going through right now as an interruption. They see it as a moment of innovation. You catch the difference? Like, this is the best time, really, for the church to press out its mission, to go faster and further with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the very best time to be as a believer, to speak out to the hope that you have, to your non-believing coworkers, or your non-believing friends, and your non-believing family. Friends, the world is going dark, and it's a good time to be in the flashlight business. You are the hope of the world, and God is not done using you anymore. And though you might have had this interlude, and though you might be out of cadence, God says, let's get back to the rhythms of life. Let's get back to marching to the mission that I've called you to take over this world in the name of Jesus Christ. And James kind of gives us this idea. This book of James is a small letter in the Bible. It's written by Jesus' half-brother. You know you're the savior of the world when you can convince your family that you really are God's son. And ultimately, later in life, the half-brother of Jesus named James gives himself over to Jesus and says he truly was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here's the half-brother Jesus who's writing this great pearls of wisdom that he's about ready to toss to us. And so I want you to just kind of pipe up and listen, pull out a Bible from the chair rack in front of you. It's page 979. And James is going to tell us how to confidently face an uncertain future. Now listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. Now listen, he says, verse 13, James 4. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, and we'll spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. What James is saying, you who all have these great plans, listen, verse 14, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Like, what's your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Listen to all this reality statements. Verse 15, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. Verse 17 can hit you right between the eyes. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's a sin for them. Like, if you know what you ought to do, if God's calling you to do something, but you just refuse to do it, James says, that's a sin for you. Now, let me just point out some ways in which James kind of has this moment of get back to reality, Christians. Get back to the way you've lived prior to all this pause in your life. First, I see him saying, involve God in your planning. I think the reason why many of us are hesitant right now, why we're in this pause, is because we've just left God out of the equation of our planning. But James gives this really common example in verses 13 and 14. He talks about a man that has made these plans, that has future dreams and hopes, but yet in a moment he's about ready to scold this guy who has all these plans. Now, I'm a planner. I write things down in a book, and I say, this is what I want to accomplish today, and what I want to accomplish tomorrow, and what I want to accomplish for the month and the year. That's how I run my life. I'm a planner. But some reason, James says, listen, I'm going to scold this guy. But you know what I find about pretty fun about this guy is that in two sentences, he plans more than we can plan in 2 weeks. Listen to this. Listen to this. He knows exactly what he's up to. Here's his master plan. When's he going to depart for his journey? Tomorrow. Where's his destination? A certain city. What's the duration of his trip? 1 year. What's his mission or his plan? Conduct business. What's his purpose? Make money. That would take us 2 weeks to define all that. He's got it done in two sentences. That's his purpose statement. That's his mission statement. And you're saying, well, okay, aren't we supposed to plan ahead? Yeah, we're supposed to plan ahead. But so why is James saying foul on this guy? It's real simple. Because his master plan never included the master. He included everything. He included everything. But the most important thing, God himself. And this isn't a plan of relying on God. This is a plan of relying on self. And James says, no, I'm not asking you to make plans that rely on yourself. That's why you are in the great pause. That's why you're in the interlude right now. You are fearful and you're only planning of the strength that you have, the wisdom you have, the guts that you have, the foreknowledge that you have. How about we start involving God in the plan here? Because I know a lot of Christians, you might too, and you might be one of them, and I was one of them at one time, that said I was a Christian, but I never involved God in my plans. Like when it came to career decisions or educational decisions, I chose what I wanted and I never prayed. God, what do you want in my life? When it came to a spouse, perhaps you left God out of those plans. You never prayed, God, is this the spouse? Is this the person that I need to be engaged to? Is this the person that I need to do the rest of my life with? Maybe it came to financial dealings. You just kind of went your own road, went your own way, but you never gave God a second thought and never put him in the equation. Let me just give you a quick, simple secret to living a fulfilled life. You ready? Yeah, you look it. A quick secret to living a fulfilled life. Involve God in your plans and you will be blessed. Involve God in your plans. God, I just welcome you into my life. I welcome you into this plan. I want what you want for me. You will find unexpected blessings. And you will find protection. God will go and fight some battles for you that are on the horizon that you can't fight on your own. I think that's a part of why Scripture encourages the believer at most times, like Proverbs 16, commit to the Lord everything that you do. Commit to the Lord everything that you do. Everything that you're going to do. You just hand it to the Lord and say, God, not what I want, but what you want. And then he will make the plans do what? Succeed. He will make the plans succeed. You're going to find unexpected blessing. You're going to find protection and provision when you commit it over to God. So how do you include God? How do you include God into your plans? Because some of us just don't know how to do this. Let me give you, number one way is to pray and plan at the same time. Pray and plan at the same time. A little earlier in the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 45, James encourages the believers and says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should pray for wisdom, and God who has all the wisdom will give you wisdom. Did you just hear what James said? Anyone who lacks wisdom, pray for wisdom. And the God of all wisdom will do what? He'll give you wisdom. And some of you are like, well, I'm in a terrible relationship right now. And I don't know the course I ought to take. Pray and ask God for wisdom as you plan the next steps of your relationship. Some of you are looking for jobs. Some of you are trying to figure out what to do next for education or a career path. And you don't know because it's gray out there and you're in the fog. How about pray and ask God for some wisdom? Why? Because you pray and ask, and James says the promise is there that you will receive that wisdom and you will have direction. Some of you right now are trying to figure out how to handle your finances, or money is tight and it's just strained, and you're saying, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to spend it or how to spend it, or if I should pull out investments or retirement to make sure that I have some kind of a glimpse of a future for the next month. You pray and you ask for wisdom, and the God who has all wisdom will do what? He'll give you wisdom. Listen, only a fool would say, I ain't taking that promise. Only a fool. Friends, you're reading tea leaves right now. You're walking in the fog right now. You're hanging out in the dark right now. God says, I know your today. I know your tomorrow. I know the next year. I know the next. I know it all. How about put your trust in that God rather than yourself? Pray as you plan. Here's the second one. Just trust God. Trust God more than you trust yourself. I love what the proverb has to say, Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord. Listen, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, with everything that you are. And then in all your ways, acknowledge God, and God will make your path straight. God will make your path straight. You just start trusting, and God will start making those crooked things straight in your life. You quit relying on yourself for all things and start relying on God for most things. And friends, things will get more straight than crooked in your world. God continually tells us over and over again in his word, you put me in the plan, there's going to be success. It may not look like the success that you thought it was going to be, but it's going to be look like success from heaven's point of view. And can I tell you why it's so important these days to trust in God? Do I have to tell you this? Like, the last 6 months have been nuts. We never saw this coming. December, we didn't see this coming. And this curveball, like, I can't hit curveballs. That's why I didn't go to the next level out of college. I can't hit curveballs. Can't hit curveballs on the playing field, and I can't hit curveballs in life. And this is a curveball. 6 months, in the last 6 months, we've witnessed so much political unraveling, haven't we? So much cultural and ethnic upheaval, more so unparalleled to anything I've ever seen in my life. And it's all kind of like happened at once. Just kaboom, right now. And then who knows what tomorrow is going to bring to us, right? Because we have all these politicians. Uh-oh. He just went political. Look, they're on both sides of the aisle and in between. These politicians federally and statewide that just, hey, we're just going to rewrite rules as we want to rewrite them. And we, the people, we're left in the wake of their current. I don't even have a clue what we're supposed to do half the time with these regulations, requirements, and rules that are coming down with this pandemic stuff, yet alone all the other stuff that's going on surrounding it. Man, I'll tell you what, James builds off this insecurity. It's there. It's in my life. It's in your life, this insecurity. Like, I don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't either. What do we do about it? James says, I'll tell you, brother, what to do about it. I'm going to give you a way to live out your faith with an uncertain future. Get back into James chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. James says, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. And I say, you better believe it, man. What is your life? James gets real serious. Matt, you're like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You're like the air freshener that your wife puts out. Just gone. That's you. Like the mist in the morning that hangs over the crops, and then you drive through that same road a little bit later in the afternoon, and it's gone. That James says, y'all, that's you. So don't just get God involved in your plans. James has this real simple back to reality moment. You're not going to be around long. You don't know how long. Make the most of your day. Make some plans, but make the most of your day. Don't live with this presumption that you have tomorrow, that those plans are going to come through. So you better start getting on mission right now, boy. I'll tell you what, right now. Because we live with this presumption that we got tomorrow, that we got time. Like, we live with this presumption that we can kind of fabricate time, we can manufacture it, but we can't. Listen to what the psalmist said. Let's just kind of embed ourselves in these words of David. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. What a prayer. God, would you just remind me that I don't have a lot of time? Like James is saying, I'm like a mist. I wish I was more, I want to be more like a fog, but I guess I'm a mist. Remind me that my days are numbered. How fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you at best. Each is us but a breath. Oh, man. He's saying it's just this quick. This last week I was reminded of how much time I have left on earth, and it didn't come through some kind of like, you know, moment where I had a near-death experience. No, I was just introduced to what's called a life expectancy calendar. Like, listen, it's not for the faint of heart. So if you don't want to do it, do not go to deathclock.com and type in your body mass index and your height and do you smoke, do you drink, and all these other things. But I am here to tell you, you're going to be with me for a long time. Or at least I'm going to be with you for a long time. Because I am expected to die. I'm 16,012 days old today. You can celebrate that if you want to. I'm expected to die Monday, February the 23rd, 2071, ripe old age of 94. So here's my plan. I'm going to the Colonel today, and I'm going to get me some buckets. That's what I'm saying. All right? That's what I'm saying. Here is the reality. How you spend today is how you'll spend your life. That's reality. How you spend today is how you'll spend your life. And I know you probably feel like I do. You're in limbo right now. Like, I don't know what's next. I don't know what's coming. I'm in a fog. I'm not sure what to do here with all this. How about we just say, God's given me today, right? This is a blessing today. I'm going to use this moment, this breath. I am going to use this width of my hand, this fleeting time today. And I'm not going to use it today worrying and anxiously waiting for tomorrow. Well, then how should I use it, Pastor? Well, God says we should use it not by worrying and anxiously waiting, but by worshiping and walking. Worshiping with God every day to honor God, heart, soul, mind, and strength, the best way we have. God, today is going to be a day that's honoring of you, and these moments are going to honor you. That's going to be my worship. And how should I walk? Walk in the path of Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, to live up to his example, not the examples of society, not the morality that we find in the law, but the morality, the ethics that we find in Jesus personified. For many Christians, this pandemic has been a pause moment. I will get to it when this all clears up. I will get back to being myself and being who God called me to. No. King David, here's his prayer again in a different way. Psalm 90. Teach us, God, to number our days. What a prayer. God, I know I'm a breath. I know I'm a mist. Teach me to number my days that we may gain a heart of wisdom so that we'll be wise. Friends, if our days are numbered, make them count. Syndicated columnist Harvey McKay, he had written these words. I think they're so poignant. Time is free, but it is priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep time, but you can spend it. And once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Friends, it can't be manufactured. So what do you do with that kind of commodity? You put first things first. You find the priority of life. And friends, there's value, there's friends, there's jobs, there's work, there's fun, there's entertainment. What is the priority of your life? And I'll tell you what, you can figure that out today really easy. What are your actions? What were your actions yesterday? That will help you determine the priorities of your life. What were your actions like? Because that will express your... Where'd you spend your time? Where'd you spend your talent? Where'd you spend your treasure yesterday? Because more than likely, it will be repeat today. If some of you are like, well, Pastor, listen, I'll be honest. There were no spiritual rhythms in my life yesterday. There was no prayer. There was no scripture reading. There was no getting close to God. There was no living on mission. There was no thinking of others. There was no trying to pursue the mission of the church and have everyone come to know Jesus. There was none of that. That should scare you. But today is a day of change. And that should be a moment of celebration for you. That today doesn't have to be a ditto page of yesterday. Today is a new day. Today is a new day for you to get reconnected to those spiritual rhythms, to get reconnected with your love for Christ, to get reconnected with the vision and the mission and the purpose that God has called you to. You see, Jesus stated it like this in Matthew 6, but seek first his kingdom. Seek first God's kingdom today and Jesus' righteousness today. And all these things will be given to you. Like, yeah, you'll be able to go to the lake. Yeah, you'll be able to go to the movie. Yeah, you'll still be able to watch to binge watch some shows on Netflix. Not all of them, but some of them. But you seek me first. You put me as priority, and then all these things will fall into place for you. But you just put me first. Because what happens when we put that other stuff first? Jesus, we never find him in our day. We never find God in our day. We never complete those spiritual rhythms, do we? And can I just get us back to reality for a moment? 100 years from now, the only thing that's going to matter is your relationship with God. That's it. 100 years from now, the only thing that's going to matter is your relationship with God. Not what you did here on earth when it came to your entertainment or your finances. No, it's going to matter what you did with the relationship that you had with Jesus Christ. Change your priorities, friend, and you will change your life. Here's James chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. He continues to double down as we kind of wrap this thing up. Verse 15 and 16, he says, Instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. If God just will allow it, we'll do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. Like, don't put pride in your plan. Invite God into it. But then James kind of says, if you really want to live in faith, if you really want to live wild, maybe you should say, God, not what I want, but what you want. So here's the dose of reality James really gives to us is, God's will for me is far more important than what I want for myself. God's will for my life is far more important than what I want for myself. Let me just put it a different way. You'll find the greatest fulfillment of life when you stop trying to include God in your plan and say, God, I just want to be included in your plan. That's real faith. Not my will, God, but yours be done. Because God has a will for your life. Every single person in this room, God has a specific will. Now, to understand the theology of God's will, it's broken down into three parts, really. First part is that God is sovereign, has a sovereign will over all of his creation. So he's in charge of all things. He has power over all things. He has say over all things. Simply put, God can do what he wants when he wants to do it. Simply put, that's God's will. Whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, God can will it and make it happen. It's his creation. It's his toy. He can play with it as he wants. But here's another part of the will. Second part, that God's will as it applies to people, his creation. You know what that is? You know what God's will as it applies to creation is very simple. That all people are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ and not perish but have eternal life. It is God's simple will for all of his creation. That it is redeemed and rescued through the cross of Jesus Christ, so that men and women will come to believe in Jesus, be baptized and saved, and live on mission for God. That's God's will, and he has done everything in his power to remove the obstacles for you to get to Jesus. If you haven't got to Jesus, you have not completed the will of God in your life. That is the will of mankind, to get saved, to be saved, to not perish, but have eternal life, because there is so much more life than this one right now. There's eternal life. The Bible tells it in plain and simple phrasing. Christ suffered for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. And if you just want to know where you're at and I'm at in that statement, we are not the righteous. We are the unrighteous. And Jesus is the righteous. And he died for the unrighteous, the perfect for the imperfect, to bring you to God. That's why Jesus came, to bring you to God. That's God's will for your life, not perish, but have everlasting life in Jesus. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit, meaning he rose from the dead again to give you hope so that you can rise from the dead again, not bodily, but spiritually, and be absent from the body, but present with the Lord in heaven. Friends, the only way to get there, the only way to have life after death is to follow God's will and have your sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ to believe in him as Lord and Savior of your life. Right? But there's a third part to this will. There's a third part to this will. That third part is a specific will that God has for your life. Friends, God has you breathing and living today because you have some kind of unique purpose today, right now. Right now you do. And he hasn't given up on it. He hasn't pushed pause and he hasn't put an interlude to it. And you know what I found out about that will? I have the power to accept it or reject it, to say, God, I want it, or God, I'm going to ignore it, and I'm going to do what I want to do. I have that power. You don't believe me? Even the Son of God, Jesus himself, had that power. because it wouldn't be love if we were just commanded and controlled to do what God wanted us to do. That would not be love. It wouldn't be free will. And you have the free will to accept Jesus or to deny Jesus. You have the free will to believe in God or not to believe in God. You have the free will to accept God's unique will for your life or not, just as Jesus Christ did. You remember the moments before he was handed over for the trial and then his execution the following day, that Thursday night, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane right outside of Jerusalem, and he prays this prayer. Remember this prayer. Father, if you are willing, don't you love us? God, if you are willing, take this cup from me. That was a cup of wrath. All of sin was going to be poured onto our Savior in just the next day. And Jesus says, I don't want that. And then he has this moment where it's like, not my will, not what I want, but what you want, God. Not my will, but yours be done. And then just moments after that, Jesus arose from prayer, went back to meet with his disciples. There's one zealous disciple by the name of Peter. He was a follower and friend of Jesus. And he sees the temple guards coming. And Peter pulls out his sword and lops off the temple guard's ear. Jesus picks up that man's ear and heals him. And I'm thinking, if I were Peter, and if I knew Jesus was going to heal that guy, I would just keep lopping a little bit more and just see what Jesus would heal back together again. A whole different context, though. And then Jesus has this little teaching for Peter, just this little remote teaching for Peter. Put away your sword, Peter. And in Matthew, here's what Jesus says. Do you think I cannot... Peter, are you limiting my power right now? Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels, which means a heap of power? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? You know what Jesus was just saying? At any moment, I can pull the eject lever and I can get out of this mess if I want to get out of this mess. But you know what? I had invited God not just into my plans. I invited and asked God, can I be a part of your plans? Not my will, but yours be done. And I'm going to go to the cross tomorrow. And the world is going to receive a blessing like it's never received before, because that's what happens when you walk in the will of God. You receive unexpected blessings and other people are blessed because of it. And we are, aren't you so glad that Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done? You see, you fall in line with God's will, his plan, unpredicted blessings pour out. You will find the greatest fulfillment in life when you stop trying to include God in your plans and instead ask God to include you in his. There's this little piece of scripture that we're kind of missing right now in James 4. It's one that just kind of hits you between the eyes because it's like based upon what God's calling you to do. James 4, verse 17, it says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and then doesn't do it, it's a sin for them. God's called you to do some things. He's called you to walk through some things and move you in this moment of pause. And some of us have just not been doing it. And James just flat out says, that's a sin for you. That's a sin for you that you didn't do what God has called you to do. And you just kind of just stayed put rather than pressed out. And I recognize there's not a lot of things in life we get to decide. Like, I didn't get to decide where I was born. I didn't get to decide my parents. I didn't get to decide my siblings. I didn't get to decide the time period or the culture or the race that I would be born into. And more than likely, I won't get to decide I don't think February the 23rd on a Monday is the day I'm going to die. I don't get to decide that. I only know this. I have only control over what I do right now. Like, I can draw a circle around myself and say, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? That's what I have control over. I have control over what I do right now. Not all that past stuff, maybe not this future stuff, but what am I going to do right now? And here's what I want you to consider. God has created you to be a difference maker. And how are you impacting this world right now with the Spirit of God at work within you? Then let me just bring a warning to you. Because if you don't define your life today, someone or someone else is going to define it for you. And you won't live the way you want to live. You're going to live someone else's definition of life. So can I give you homework? You guys are super mature. I would have whined about that. I'm like, no, you're going to give me homework. Set aside 30 minutes of prayer. Just 30 minutes to prayerfully make a plan for this year. And you're going, well, to involve God in my plan? Yeah, and then if you're so bold to say, God, but not my will, not what I wrote down, but yours be done. And at the beck and call of your Spirit's movement, I will go. Here I am, send me. To be so bold to say, not my will, God, but yours be done. God, what can I do in these next 4 months that will be so big that I'll need to include you? I'm going to write out that plan. God, what is it? God's going to lay something on your heart, and I want you to look at that plan and say, okay, God, this is what you're calling me to do, but not my will here. Would yours be done? Would yours be done? Because I think we have all sorts of excuses as to why we just haven't moved forward yet. God's favorite word, you know, is today. And Satan's favorite word is someday. And many of us have just been in the someday syndrome. I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll start on that tomorrow. I'll work on that tomorrow. And God says, you've got today. That's all you've got. Why are you waiting for perfect weather to start harvesting and reaping? Friend, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the perfect time to give your life to Jesus? Right now is the perfect time. Are you waiting on the perfect time to join a small group? Right now is the perfect time to start a small group. Are you waiting on the perfect time to start serving Christ and letting the people of His church have the benefit of that blessing? Right now is the time to do it. Are you waiting for the perfect time to regather as a family and start some family plans together? Maybe plan a trip or a time where you can link. Right now. Do it today. You're trying to wait for the perfect time to reconnect with friends and old family members? Right now. Do it today. Why? James says the reality is our life is but a mist. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. And the reality is, let's invite God into our plans and be so bold to say, not my will, but yours be done. And instead of waiting, let's make the most of today and worship and walk with Jesus Christ. You pray with me? God, I pray that this message just hits home to the hardened heart, to the already convinced, to the one that thinks they know it all, to the one who just said, I have no clue what that guy just said for the last 30 minutes. May your spirit do a good work in us. May we leave here changed today, more like Jesus than when we walked in. May our faith be stretched today. May people make decisions of faith today. May they be called your sons and your daughters because they believe today for the very first time. May those who believe take steps of faith and be baptized to commit their life over to you. May we do what you're calling us to do. Not our will, but yours be done. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.